James chapter 1, we've taken a look at this chapter, and we're going to leave this chapter tonight. I had to be honest with you, spent more time here than I expected to. I hope it hasn't been a burden to you or grievous or tedious to you. I don't want it to be that way. But we want to understand and take the time that we need to understand what the Lord's saying to us in His Word. Temptations are going to come. Trial is going to come. Testing is going to come for the child of God. It's for our benefit. It's to grow. We need to have faith. We need to go to the Lord for those things that we need. We need, He has abundant blessings and will give wisdom in verse number 5. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Don't ask thinking you maybe you get, maybe you won't. No, go to the Lord in confidence and faith in Him. And then this thing about the low rejoicing in that He is exalted, the rich, and what's told to the rich about those things. Blessed is that man, verse 12, that endures this temptation and this trial, this testing, this growing. A crown of life is promised. Let no man say that when he's tempted with wickedness or tempted unto sin, that God's doing that, because the Lord doesn't test that way. The Lord doesn't tempt that way. That's our nature. That's the work of Satan, is that enticement. But this thing within us and that warfare that goes on, we need to understand about that. We need to know that that's there so we can deal with it. God gives good gifts. And anything that God gives, it's a good gift. Every single thing. Even that trial that may be hard on us. Even that thing that Job went through. We've got a hard time saying that one, don't we? But even that, it was good for Job. It was good for Job. Job learned in that, and that's, may the Lord help us if He brings that our way, and we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, the Scripture says. But these good gifts come from the Lord. He has born, He has birthed us again with the Word of truth. He brought the Word to us, and he worked in us. The Spirit of God moved. We hear. We need to listen to God, not pursue our own way. Or the wrath of man, it won't ever work the righteousness of God. But we need to listen to the Word of God. He is not variable. He is not fickle. We are. We need to be aware of that, and we need to listen to what He says. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 21, lay aside all that junk. Receive the Word of God. Put sin, and abundance of sin and wickedness. Put that out of our life. Receive the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word. We'll be blessed in our deed by doing so. The Word, not the law. If it's a law to you, then you're missing it. If it's a law to you, you're missing the point. You're missing the blessing. If it's a list of do's and don'ts, you're missing the blessing of God. We need to see that. Be a hearer of the Word and a doer of it. And don't be as one that forgets what God has done to them. Why? Because it's not being exercised in life. We need the mirror to see that we've been saved, and because we're not doing and obeying the Lord, as we get away from the mirror, we forget what's happened to us. A lot of people, that happens to today, it seems like. Look into that perfect law of liberty, verse 25. Continue in that and be a doer of the work, which is what the Word will do. The Word will lead us to do the work of the Lord, and the Lord will bless. Verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, has a religious practice, has a religious way, has a religious utterance, what is that? This religious that it's talking about here is religious order and practice and pursuit, as I understand it. If a man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, right there, that little member. I'm going to stick my tongue out at you one more time. Right there, that tongue. And can't bridle that. Listen, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, he's lying to himself. Isn't that what it says? deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is empty. That's a little verse, but it sure packs a wallop, doesn't it? And everything that we would pursue to do and be religious and service, worship, such as that, but we can't control our tongue. That verse just said it's empty. Doesn't mean a lick. Doesn't mean nothing. It's vain. It is vain. It's nothing. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Oh, there's a key. Where is our worship, our service, our religion, our practice? Who's it before? It's a witness and a testimony one to another. But where it's being reconciled is before God. Where it's being determined to its value and its worth is before God. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And we'll go on and deal with that. But we want to deal with this about the tongue. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. There was another deception that was listed in this chapter, wasn't there? Verse number 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hearing it and not practicing it, not obeying the Lord, not following the Lord. But even if we would do and follow the Lord, if we can't control our mouth, we tear it down. And the thing is the Lord knows everything we say. The Lord knows everything we utter. Boy, oh boy, the tongue. Chapter 3, let's take a look. It's kind of different to go over here and skip around, but it's the way that this is written, so we'll do so. Chapter 3, verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. If the Lord has called you to be a teacher, a preacher, and of course he's only going to call men to be preachers, but make sure it's a calling. Make sure the church wants you to teach. Make sure it needs to be, because listen, when we stand up and we shell out the word of God, we're responsible for it. We're responsible for it. I'm responsible for every single thing that I've ever taught and preached. I'll stand before God and give an account for it. Why? Because it affects people. And if I feed you with junk, I can do you damage and do you hurt. I feed your children with junk, I can do them damage and do them hurt. We need to be careful. And how do we do it? How is it that one does teach? With the tongue, right? With teaching and preaching and such. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Leadership even in the church. Make sure that you're following the Lord in it. Make sure that it's You seek to follow the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Because leaders, teachers, preachers stand responsible for how they do so. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a mature man. You've got a handle on what the Lord says. And we're never going to have a perfect handle on what the Lord says. But the Lord talks about, and the Scripture talks about, being skillful with the Word of God. Not deceptive, as there are those that are counted of in the Scripture that are deceptive with the Word of God. But skillful with the Word of God. To be mature. To know how to use it. To know how to teach with it. To know how to abide by it, instruct with it, preach with it. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you can take care of your mouth, you can take care of the rest of you. And it's going to tell us why. If we can take care of our tongue, we can take care of the rest of the body. Look what it says. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A horse is a powerful being, isn't it? Put a bit in that mouth. Put a bit in that horse's mouth, and when they don't like it, they'll run it around in there. Brother Joe, you worked with horses, didn't you, in your work? And you get a bit that's not right, they keep fussing against it, fighting against it, or if they're unruly, right? They don't like it because they're being controlled, but you get a hold of that rein that's hooked up to that bit, and you pull on it, do this with it, takes that. How much does an average horse weigh, Joe, would you say? Take that 1,400-pound horse and put them right where you want them, right? Control in the mouth. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. 2 degrees to the port, 4 degrees to the starboard. You got the helm. They're at the helm of the place where the captain's at and the fellow doing the steering. And it takes that rudder and turns that rudder and takes that whole big old ship and puts it wherever he wants it to go. A little member driving a big thing. Even so the tongue, verse 5, is a little member. Boasteth and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How does a forest fire start? It's with an ember, right? With a match, with a cigarette butt flicked out of a window, with a campfire that's left and not doused out real good, and a piece of that paper that was put in there at the end of the camp kind of blowing off and getting over there in some dry stuff. Next thing you know, you might have hundreds or thousands of acres burning from just a little small ember. Boasteth great things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And a tongue can't take 2 steps. You ever think about it? What can a tongue lift up? What can a tongue put together or do? A boy can sure rattle off some big stuff, can it? Rattle off some big stuff. Boast great things. And in and of itself has no capability at all. That's the reason it's saying boast. We're going to do this. You ever been volunteered for something? Well, my father-in-law was like that. He would do that to me at times. Maybe he'll get to listen to this message. I'll accuse him a little bit here. Well, Jim's going to help me do this. I am? Well, yeah, I need you to help me do that. Okay, I'll do that. But he'd tell about what we're going to do, and I didn't even know anything about it, but being my father-in-law and love him, so I'll go help him. But it boasts us great things, gets people involved. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Why? Because that little thing is tied to the heart. Tact. Tact is it's a term for not saying what's on our mind right off the bat, isn't it? Those that suffer strokes, it seems like sometimes their tact is affected, and they just say what comes to their mind. I've seen that here recently, and it's not to the person's detriment or anything, and we do need to control what we say. But the tongue is connected to the heart. And when we get away from that which we're influenced by, or I've talked to you about being 2 different kinds of people, and we get away from that which refrains us and we get to where we're free, how is it that our tongue is different? I'm guilty, folks. You know where I'm most comfortable? In that house over there with my wife and my kids. You know, but I should be no different there than I am in front of you. Should be no different there. How is it with you? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. It's so little, but it shoots off a boast. It gives somebody a tongue lashing when it's not deserved. It gets mean and hard and nasty. And it makes the whole body guilty, doesn't it? Folks don't say, your tongue has offended me. Folks don't say that, do they? Said, you have offended me with your words. A fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. I don't understand all of what that means. I know, I think one thing that it means is all it takes is a little whisper over here, a little gossip over here, a little misinformation over here, and man, it can set off a thing that'll just go through people, won't it? May God help us not to be gossipers, tongue waggers, tattlers. In the church, I've admonished you to, or the business of the church needs to be the business of the church, and that's it. And if there's a member of the church that needs to know a thing, we need to tell them in the right way. But when we tell, are we telling to run somebody down? Are we telling them so that one that needs to know can know? There's a difference. And certainly we are all entitled to an opinion about a thing, but we need to handle how we give our opinion and what we think the situation and how the Word of God, or how it should line up with the Word of God, or how it doesn't line up with the Word of God, because that's our guide, right? Yeah, should be. We can tell what we think about that. But are we seeking to hurt when we speak, or are we seeking to be honest when we speak? Are we seeking to spread abroad or blaze abroad a matter into places that it doesn't belong when we speak? Or are we looking to inform others, bounce things off of one another to share opinions, to share about what the Word of God says about it for the sake of finding the truth and what's right? How is it? How is it with us? Because be careful. If the tongue gets turned loose, it setteth on fire the course of nature. We can wreck a situation or a people by poor use of our tongue. Amen. May God help. That's the reason that we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and with this little member, always speak the truth. Let your nay be nay and your yea be yea, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? James, I think, is going to tell us that. The Lord certainly did. And is set, there at the end of verse 6, is set on fire of hell. On fire of hell? The fire is set on fire of hell. Isn't that what it says? The tongue is set on fire of hell. The fire, is that saying the fire in hell can be like this tongue? That's pretty tough, isn't it? I think what it means is it's destructive. Those that are in hell are burning, but never going to burn up. But there's no more destructive place than hell. It's damnation and condemnation forever, or till they're taken up and judged and then put in the lake of fire. And hell is put in the lake of fire. May God help us that our tongue not be destructive. You know, was the Lord's tongue ever destructive? Never was it? I mean, because why? He was full of grace and truth. When he opened up his mouth, he spoke the truth always. Truth never does compromise us, doesn't hurt us. Truth will always lead us to good things, to that which is right, that which is righteous. That's what our tongue needs to be. For every kind of beast, verse 7, of birds and serpents, of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. They take the orcas and put them in a tub so you can pay an admission to go watch them do their thing. How does that happen? Who was the first guy that thought to do that? Let's go get a killer whale and put them in a tub so people can come and watch them. Okay, yeah. You go talk to him. you go train him to jump over here. You go train him to ride on top of him. But somebody did, didn't they? Somebody was the first. Would never be me. I wouldn't be the thousandth. Not me. I'm afraid I would look too much like fish food. You know? But somebody did. And they'll take them, and they got them there, and they get down there, and they talk to them, and they feed them, and they train them, and they do things. And if you've ever seen it, it's a wonder to watch, isn't it? Everything's been tamed. Everything's been tamed. All kinds of animals have been captured and put in the zoo, put in a place that they were not naturally there, and they didn't want to be there, but men have taken them and put them where they wanted them. May not have made a pet out of them. But man has done that. But the tongue, verse 8, can no man tame. You know, our country, and it is with other countries, but we're most familiar, I trust, with some of the history of our country. Even when our forefathers of our country, the patriots in our country, seeking the independence and freedom for our country, even those that would be caught and jailed, unless they cut their tongue out, they could never tame what they would say. How about are the forefathers of our faith martyred for what they believed and their stand for Jesus Christ and the doctrines of the Lord's kind of church? They could make them physically quit by chaining them up and binding them. But they couldn't make their tongue stop till they cut it out or they killed them. Right? And it's just like your child, and when we were children, would say and have an attitude about sometimes, I'm obeying on the outside, but I'm sure not on the inside. You see, the tongue's tied to the inside. Every kind of beast. But the tongue no man can tame. Can no man tame? It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Reach out there and hurt. Reach out there and defile. Reach out there and strike. Just like that. Isn't that something that we say? Boy, they've got a sharp tongue. Boy, they really gave a tongue lashing. Boy, they can work you over with their tongue. Yeah. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Full of deadly poison. Here's the contradiction about the tongue. Therewith, with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, and might even do it in the same sentence. Which are made after the similitude of God. We shouldn't curse anybody, should we? We shouldn't. But look at the hypocrisy in that. Praising God and honoring God and then cursing our neighbor, our friend, our family. That fast. That fast. But the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Don't let it be that way with you. Yeah, but they make me so mad. No, it's no justification. Our tongue should speak peace. Yes, we need to get on our kids. Yes, sometimes Clarissa needs to get on me. She needs to do it in the right way. And I need to do it in the right way towards her. But to tell the truth in a way that can be a help, but not cut, not beat up, not demoralize. May the Lord help us in that. To do with our tongue as the Lord would do. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, verse 12, my brethren, bear olive berries? Do you get olives out of a fig tree? No way, no how. It won't happen. It won't happen. Can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Remember, the tongue is connected to the heart, to the soul. The tongue will really, if you evaluate what the tongue says for a long period of time, you'll find out what's on the inside, won't you?
Amen.
Yep. We were challenged years ago, and I think Clarissa did it some, especially with a young family and kids around, and they get up of an age that they start getting on each other's nerves and all that, especially when it's maybe time to start back at school, or they've had the summer has been long enough, or other times. And turn on a tape recorder and tape what goes on amongst your family when you get home in the evening for a couple hours. And then sit down and listen to it together. And listen, not to how they're talking. They'll take care of them. Listen to how you're talking. I didn't like that idea. I said, that's crazy. We'll not be doing that here. I think she did it anyway. And I tell you what, it's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener. And as the Lord's children, how are we supposed to be? How are we supposed to be? No, a fountain doesn't bring sweet and bitter water. No, a fig tree doesn't bring olives. And a fountain, salt water and fresh water, just doesn't happen. Verse 13, who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Wasn't it over here in chapter 1 that the apostle says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he's got a bunch, he'll give it to you liberally. When you come to him asking him, he doesn't upbraid and say, what are you doing here asking for wisdom? Get out of here. You asked last week. He doesn't do that, does he? No, he says, you want wisdom? I give you wisdom. You truly want wisdom? You want wisdom from me? You believe that I can give you wisdom? And you're believing and wanting to know the wisdom from God so you can really take it and put it to use? Not take it and evaluate and say, well, that's not really what I had in mind, and I'll throw it away. No, but seeking to hear from God and put it to use. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, way of life, with the mouth, with the thinking, and with the doing. Out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom, self-control. Just cause you can dress somebody down with the tongue, just saw it cause you can, you don't. Just so because maybe they even got it coming, you don't. But you speak to them good things and truthful things. You speak to them things, right things out of the Word of God. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying, jealousy, and strife, turmoil, being rubbed the wrong way, not liking the way it's going because it's not what you want it to be, not what I want it to be. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, verse 14, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's demon-like. It's demon-like. Is this the way it is? Bitter jealousy? You know, one of you all gets a new car, I praise the Lord for it for you. I'm tickled. And that's the right way to be. But if I go home saying, they got a new car, we didn't. We're driving what we're driving. That's no good, is it? You know, the Lord blesses you and drops $100,000 on you right now. Remember, I'm the best friend you've got. No. I praise the Lord for it. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. I pray for it that you'll use it right. Buy me a new car. No. But praise the Lord for it. The Lord blesses. The Lord blesses in our brothers and sisters' lives. We should thank God for it and rejoice with them. It's the Lord that's directed the thing. It's the Lord that's directed the thing. Our responsibility is use what the Lord's blessed us to help the brotherhood, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's finances or ability or maybe even influence in a right way. I'm not talking about lying, cheating, and stealing. But that, if we've been blessed, we're to take it and use it. Use it. Use it. That's what the Lord's blessed with. But not be, they got to do this or they got to do that. You know, when we get that way, you know what we ought to do? Rather than talk to our spouse about it, what we ought to do is go get in our bedroom and get on our knees and look up to the heavens and look up to the Lord and make our complaint with Him and see how long you can stand it. If our heart's right, it won't be long. Because when we make the idle comment, when we make the idle that or that accusation, when it gets down to it, folks, we're talking to the Lord. And may God help us to see that. May God help us to see that. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't rejoice over that. Don't think that that's a good thing. Don't think that you're in vogue because you're taking after the way of the world and fussing and carrying on and complaining about what the Joneses or the Smiths have or don't have. Or what you've been shorted. Because remember what the Scripture says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. And we need to remember that. This strife, this bitter envying, the strife in hearts, this bitter envying, it descendeth from not from above, but is earthly. It's from right down here at ground zero on the earth. It's sensual. It's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You know, and if we have that in the church, if we have strife and envying in the church, that confusion and that every evil work will be predominant, and we won't be able to do what we're supposed to do. We'll be messing around. The membership, the pastor will be messing around, having to answer it, having to deal with it, having to work on it, having to pray about it. And it's not even what we've been called to do. But it's just, it's got to fiddle with dealing with the junk. And it need be not that way. It doesn't need to be that way. Amen. Doesn't need to be that way. But the wisdom that is from above, verse 17, it's first pure, then peaceable, and gentle. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've heard this before, haven't you? Is it not the fruit of the Spirit? Right. Sometimes the truth hurts, but we always need to tell the truth. But as we saw about the Lord Jesus Christ, in his gentleness and in his goodness, he tells us the truth, even though it hurts us, but it's ultimately for our good, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. But he doesn't tell us to seek to hurt us or run us down or beat us down. You see? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Heard about a situation where it's going on at a group of folks, and it's become tedious amongst them, and they can't even talk about it. We shouldn't be that way. We ought to be able to talk about anything that we need to deal with in our families, in our church. We may disagree, but we ought to be able to discuss it and talk about it and go to the Word of God with it to discern what the Lord says. Right?
Amen.
Brother, you don't believe like I do, and I'm going to knock your block off. No. No. Now, you don't believe like I do and get all red-faced and your veins popping out on your neck. No. That's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. And there does need to be a stand for truth and righteousness, but we can make a stand without getting angry, without getting vile, without being mean. But making a stand like the Lord would stand. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. He's going to talk to us about that in chapter 2, without hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. No, wherein I stand and what I might present to you, I need to hold myself to too, don't I? That's what the Lord expects. I don't need, as pastor, to preach to you about what you're to do or not to do and then be guilty of it myself. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Arbitrator. Peacemaker. You know, the children of God, the Lord says, are going to be called the peacemakers. Because what is it that we do in a witness for the Lord and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in saving us? We're to be going and telling others about the love, mercy, and grace of God towards sinners like us. Seeking what? Seeking, as it says, and we preached here, I think, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, be ye reconciled to God. Right? We want folks to have peace with the Lord. Like we do. But if we go to them and just burn them down with our tongue, will we accomplish any good witness? No. Now they may have something that's heretical and against the Word of God. Well, if I get all red-faced, my veins pop out and get all riled and mad and want to go to fisticuffs, that's not going to work a good witness, is it? But if I tell them and show them what the Word of God says, and they get angry over that, then, and I've managed my tongue and my speech and my conversation well, then I've done what's right to do, haven't I? Did not they dislike the Lord for what he said? But he always told them the truth. See the difference there? See, what this is talking about, it's not calling us to passiveness, where we don't say anything, but keep the peace at all costs. No, but it's when we do speak the truth, we do it well and right and peaceable. And not with malice, not with vengeance, not with hardness. It's hard to describe. It's maybe it's so much the way that we do say it, the way we say it. May the Lord help us to see it. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Someone sitting at the table trying to make peace between two parties, they don't get rough with them, do they? But they try to find commonalities and where they can give and where they can get together for an arbitrator or a peacemaker. Well, the thing is, that's we don't make a deal with the Lord because we're guilty. We're guilty. But we tell them the truth of what God has said. The tongue. How do you do with your tongue? May the Lord help us that we do well. Back in chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, can't control your mouth, your religion's vain. So what's the answer? Control your mouth. Control your tongue. Control it and ask the Lord for wisdom to control it well. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is empty. Proverbs 15. Another way to say it. You ready? Verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Yeah. May the Lord help us with our tongues. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord says that you're guilty. You sinned against Him and Him alone. Your transgression is against God. Yeah, you may have done your neighbor wrong, but in all that, you've sinned against God. You're guilty before the Lord. God knows it. He knows it's that way. That condemnation for your sin rests squarely upon your head. You can't lay your sin on anybody else. You're guilty. And the Lord says you need to repent before Him. And seeing that you're a sinner and seeing that it's necessary that you repent, to admit before God that you're guilty and turn and have a desire to turn from your wickedness, you need to trust in Jesus Christ. Because admitting that you're a sinner before God, that's the starting point. But that's not the solution. Amen. You need forgiveness. Right. You need, as we saw in our class, you need to be justified. Because to be before God in the new heaven and the new earth, you got to be as if you never sinned. The only way that's going to happen is you need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ put upon you and your sins put upon Him. Right? Imputation. His goodness on you. So when God looks at you, He sees nothing that you have done but what Jesus Christ Amen. Has done for you.
Amen.
That's what you need. That the Lord came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you. Did He? Can you hear Him? Can you hear Him call?